Welcome to Highly Questionable. This is Dominique Foxworth.
Oh, nice. You did it.
You nailed it.
You.
Why are your eyes so
And
wide?
This is Mina Kimes.
You got an injury? A neck injury or something?
I have various vertebra issues. Let's get started. Do you see Russell Westbrook being able to play well with LeBron and AD? So Russell Westbrook is like the greatest battleground in the NBA's modern culture war because he is incredible to watch. He does so many things that make you think, I think he's the most athletic player we may have ever seen. And then you look at like statistics and you're like, wow, this dude is also the worst three-point shooter that there's ever been. And he has been unrepentant in terms of taking a lot of field goals and missing more of them by percentage than anybody else over like the last half decade. So that is where we are with Russell Westbrook. And now he is LeBron James's solution and also possibly his problem, because I can't be so optimistic about Russell Westbrook on this team. Okay. Because what they need is somebody who fits. And what they have is a guy who's going to demand that other people fit around him. And so is it a good thing that Anthony Davis is going to have to play the five because Russell Westbrook and him and another center can't possibly coexist? I do think that's great. But as somebody who has ridden in the past for unnamed players with shooting problems, I believe that in the postseason, there will be half-court situations, and LeBron James, who loves this guy right now, may be driven insane.
Okay, so I think that is probably right. That's the closest to the true take. But here's the challenge. Let's figure out how we make this a good team. And it didn't take me long to think about it. It's D Wade, right? Like, he is a modern,
wow,
also old D Wade, right? Then they won championships down there. So now we have a lesser LeBron than back then, and probably a lesser D Wade when he was in his prime back then. The only upgrade you potentially have is if you're saying AD is Chris Bosh in that situation. AD is a greater Chris Bosh. So potentially you could make this work, but the same problems that they're going to have there in LA are the same problems that they had down in Miami. And it's the same problems, frankly, that everyone has in the NBA. You need 3-and-D guys. You need them. You need someone to shoot and to lock down on the other end. And that is not what LeBron or Russell Westbrook or AD, I guess defensively, is valuable. But none of these guys are the three part of the 3-and-D, which we all accept is a big part of the modern NBA. So, yes, it's going to be a challenge, but it is nice to have someone who LeBron can hand the offense off to and is not going to be afraid. He can hand it off through long stretches of the regular season, maybe even some stretches in the postseason, because that's what we saw. When LeBron's off the floor, they ain't good. So maybe that is the best positive spin I can put on this, is that maybe they aren't on the floor at the same time and they can just give LeBron a rest and say, Russ, here you go. Give us 8 solid minutes of offense.
For a second, I thought you were actually suggesting they bring back D Wade.
Oh, yeah. No.
I was also like
whoa, that's whoa, that's like a, you know, full on Randall Cobb. I mean, that's not really fair. Randall Cobb can actually, he's still a, you know, NFL player, but
wow, shade in every direction.
Yeah, no, I mean, but this is where we are always with Russell Westbrook. He is one of my favorite players to watch and least favorite players to talk about for this very reason. Pablo, as you said, every conversation about him becomes like a weird referendum on both his entire career and also the state of the modern NBA.
Yes, nerds.
We are wrestling with a very specific question, which is, how does he actually fit on this team? How, as Dominique tried to work through, can we make it work on this team? Foxworth, I agree with you. Like, I think he brings something to the table, which is he will eat up minutes during the regular season and can be a secondary playmaker. But the problem, as Pablo said, is what he doesn't bring to the table, which is, well, Dominique said this too, three-point shooting. Right now, there is only one player on the Lakers roster who made over 100 threes last year, and his name is LeBron James. Like, I don't understand how you can look at this and think it ends well. We know LeBron and AD need shooting, and yet somehow someone decided it was a good idea to bring the worst. He's not the worst three-point shooter. He's just the worst three-point shooter who also happens to take a lot of shots.
Yes. It's a key distinction.
Like,
it's a key distinction.
It just
and it's like,
sense.
Do you think
Well, and it's the question of, like, do you think he's ever going to change? And look, anybody who has watched him or interacted with him or seen him dance, even, like, no, he's going to do all of those things unrepentantly.
I get
even if
with that,
we
Bob,
all
like
think
it.
He's not as good as he thinks so he is in any of the things I mentioned.
This is the thing that I think all three of us feared about this is whenever you're having, and this is why you called it the culture war of the modern NBA, whenever you're having this Russell Westbrook discussion, you end up seeming like you don't value him or you don't appreciate him.
I think
all three of us love him as a star player. We enjoy watching him, but we recognize that he is kind of the central puzzle piece that you have to fit things around, but he's also not big enough to build a puzzle around, if that makes any sense. That was a nice Pablo jump pass metaphor.
Like, is he, it's like Oceania and Risk. I'm trying to think of, like, is he, he's not Park Place Monopoly.
Oh, gosh. But here it is. I figured
like
it out. Here's the solution.
Thing.
Here's the solution. AD doesn't want to play to five. Russell, his most production was at the dunker
That's true.
Spot down in
That's
Houston.
That's true.
Here we go. Let's roll out a 6'3 center.
So to recap here, the way this goes really well per Dominique Foxworth's consulting firm advice is if LeBron James and Anthony Davis get brutally injured and don't play for you, Russell Westbrook at center can go better than you might think.
Do Trey Turner and Max Scherzer make the Dodgers the clear favorites to repeat?
Yes, that seems pretty obvious to me. I mean, there are people, there are teams that are really good at being rich, right? There are some people, like there are billionaires who are on Twitter. Like, they're bad at being rich. The Dodgers have everything. They have the money. They have the bankroll. They have the analytics guys. They got the nerds. They have the farm system. And so they get now their fourth MVP and Cy Young on their roster because these are the two prizes of this entire trade deadline period. They get them without giving up any of their actual, like, really good players in the present. They got them for prospects, which is infuriating. And so if four MVP and Cy Youngs, which is unprecedented, isn't impressive enough for you, just think of the people on that pitching staff, because you get through some names. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is on there. David Price is on there. Urias is on there. Tony Gonsolin is. These are. But the point is, Max Scherzer is just one of many arms that should terrify everybody. And Trey Turner, yeah, they got him too, which I didn't even know was a thing until it happened.
You listed all the things that the Dodgers have, the system, the analytics guys, all the players. What they don't have right now is a lead in the division, which is why this is necessary. They are currently in the wild card position on account of injuries and things like that. Don't think that's going to last long. I mean, this is just comical, right? Like, the Dodgers went out and added Max freaking Scherzer, and they already have the best rotation by ERA in baseball. That is like taking a steak and wrapping it in bacon. And then they go out and they add freaking Trey Turner to their all-star lineup, which is like drizzling blue cheese on that bacon wrapped steak. Like, it's so freaking excessive, but it's also necessary because they had to keep those players away from the Padres. And I love it because to me, this is a team recognizing their window and going all in. They didn't do it for nothing. They sent off two very good young players.
Very good.
But unlike some teams in baseball, they want to win. They want to win now. And I love it.
Well, I appreciate both you guys for eating up all those innings because you know I'm no baseball expert. But I do know that they're three games out of first and they are going to come get them. But the reason why I know this is a big deal is because I've heard these names before today. Like, I knew the Dodgers were the favorites coming into the season. I know living in D.C. that Max Scherzer can throw the ball really fast and other people have a hard time hitting
it.
But overall, there are two things from this trade that I walk away thinking about. I love when teams are serious about going all in on any sport. Like, I think that has a value that goes beyond just what your roster has, and it permeates a team's clubhouse in this situation. I appreciate that. And also, Mina Kimes does not know how to prepare a steak. Why would you put blue cheese on a steak? I was with you. I'm down with bacon on it. I know people do it. They should be shunned. It's disgusting. Put blue cheese on a quality steak. How do you get it cooked? You get it cooked well done too, Mina?
It was a metaphor to illustrate excess, Dominique.
Well, you couldn't have thought of
something. That's what I would order at a steakhouse. Obviously, I would get a 4-ounce filet and then be full.
Up next on HQ.
This is the difference between, frankly, I'll just say it. Me and you, Like,
no, oh, no, no, I personally
like to be cool, and you, not so much. Time to play the game that judges anyone who goes to see a movie by themselves. I just judge him. I didn't say it was a negative judge. I just judge. Do you question?
What's wrong with seeing Fast 9 alone? You get the middle seat, the mathematical middle, and you don't have to negotiate with anybody.
Do you question who is making the picks for the Warriors?
So it is nighttime when it's daytime, Japan to America. Very hard to keep up unless you are Draymond Green, it turns out.
Draymond, I talked to like at 4 in the morning in Tokyo and 5 in the morning and 6 in the morning. While we were picking, he texted me after the 3rd or 4th pick and he said, Kuminga. And I said, well, we'll see if he's there. So he's happy. And then at about the 9th pick, he said, Moody. And I said, I don't think he's going to be there. And I didn't even give him those names. So he gave me a big thumbs up. But, you know, we still got to – that's good. I'm glad he's supportive and appreciate that. But I still think, and I think we think, we need to add some veterans. That we're not done yet. That's what we're going to have to do in free agency.
I was joking yesterday, I think, that we've never seen a GM like Brian Gutekunst credit a player for a transaction like he did with Randall Cobb. It does feel like Bob Myers is trying to protect himself in this way, too. Kind of like, look, Warriors fans, I know you wanted like someone to help Steph today, but look how much Draymond loves these guys you've never heard of before.
I do appreciate that you went the Aaron Rodgers route. Like, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Was this just a whole big troll of Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers? Like, when has this ever happened before other than days after Aaron Rodgers complains about not having an input? He's like, you know what? We give input to even our not number one guy, Aaron. Want to come play quarterback for the Warriors?
My takeaway from this clip is it's bad for USA basketball that he's watching the draft and texting at 4 a.m. in Tokyo. Like, when they go on to struggle, you know, well, maybe it's because of the jet lag.
Do you question if this is the best play Jose Iglesias has ever made?
Okay, so if you've never seen Jose Iglesias before, here's a 2-2 or let's get familiar. That is, he's the guy doing that.
Woo!
Some sauce on a...
Yeah, on a he's a web gem like machine. Oh! Look at that!
All right. Ooh, a little dribbler. Here comes Iglesias barehanded. Woo!
Where's the next pitch? That's a little bouncing ball that's hit out near the shortstop.
Dang.
Yeah, so that's all pretty gymnastic. That looks Ozzie Smithian, you might say, but... he did something that raised the question that disembodied, terrible voice asked. So let's see what I mean.
Check swing, slowly hit. Iglesias, are you kidding me?
Wait.
Woo! Wait.
Did he use his glove? Glove.
Athletic. Knows where he is on the field.
Ooh. Oh!
Wow.
Get you sent to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pulled it off.
The no look.
So that's incredible. I guess the one knock I would have on it is when you have to
knock.
Well, here's the knock, right? When you have to say, can we watch that again because it wasn't obvious the first time? I feel like if I'm going to give any advice to Jose Iglesias, which I think I'm qualified to do, you got to like sell this a little better. That's almost too subtle. And
no.
We all know that I'm a master of subtlety. I think you need to be more subtle, less subtle with that.
Okay, there's this thing on the NFL internet where anytime a quarterback does a no-look pass like Matt Stafford or Sam Darnold, people
say,
who are fans of those quarterbacks, well, if this was Patrick Mahomes, it would go viral, right? And that's how I felt watching that. Like, if that was Patrick Mahomes, it would go viral, but it's a baseball.
I mean, it was. I just wanted to stop and go back to Pablo being somehow finding problem with that. I think what makes that so special is the nonchalance, is the subtlety in that. Yeah. Like, if he's flipping out, throwing his body all around, looking uncomfortable in the way that you want him to draw attention to it, it's less of a good play. This is the difference between, frankly, I'll just say it, me and you. Like,
no, oh, no, no, I personally
like to be cool. And you, not so much. Like, I don't want to be cool. No, I want to be uncool. People like uncool.
The way, like, what he needs to do there is he has to find the camera and then finger guns right after.
What?
Find the camera, finger guns.
No.
After every one of these things.
No. I mean, maybe find the camera, sly look.
Ooh, talking about like a wink, oh, maybe?
Not a wink. No. Just a sly
eyebrow
look.
Raise?
Like, you I, know I did I, that. Just like, you I know I did that.
Okay, as the arbiter here, stop doing that with your eyebrows. I hate to take Pablo's side in anything, Dominique, but arguing that you are the more cool, subtle person immediately negates your argument.
Do you question Dan Campbell's coaching methods?
So Dan Campbell is the, you know, the cannibal coach, allegedly, well, metaphorically, I suppose. He's back doing some stuff. It's training camp. Let's watch. Oh yeah, just some up downs, right? That's the football term, football friends. Yeah. Up downs, yeah. That's what that is. Workout so friends.
Gym class. Not just football.
Just exercise friends.
Have you ever exercised?
I have refused to go up and then down for a very long time. But he's kind of winded, man.
Of course he is.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Hands on the hips. The obvious interpretable sign that you are gassed. I'll ask you guys. You guys actually played sports at various times. I'll make those equivalent. I mean, his high school career in soccer and Dominique NFL player. But like, are you inspired by that? Because I don't. That's very little that does.
It's. I mean, it is easy to make fun of Dan Campbell. But I will say, if they respect him and they appreciate that, then that has value. Like, sure. To be completely honest with you, I've had coaches who have done these type of weird things. At the end of practice, they decide they want to run conditioning with us. We freaking loved it. Not because they ran conditioning, but because it was connected to all their other actions and it felt like they were in it with us. So, like, I co-sign and I thumbs up all the jokes online about Dan Campbell doing all types of foolishness. But I also recognize that if this is consistent with his style and it's working and the guys are buying in, then yes, up, down, but do it better. Don't look tired afterwards. You want your guys to like look at their coach and be like, hey, he's tough. Don't just like practice it maybe beforehand.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Man.
I'm not going to make fun of Dan Campbell. I agree with Dominique. It just depends how it goes over in the locker room. I am going to make fun of the Lions because to me, this is the most extreme example of something that every NFL team does, which is when you fire one coach, you immediately go 180 in the opposite direction. Like they went from Matt Patricia, the ultimate mean dad, to Dan Campbell, the ultimate cool dad, and you could not have more of a diametric opposite.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't Matt Patricia's whole thing is like, I'm smarter than everybody else. I wear a pencil in my ear. I was a rocket scientist. Dan Campbell's like, you know what I think about your smart? I'll bite it. Okay, Mina, let's be honest. All right. Turn the cameras off. Stop recording.
Okay.
Who's cooler?
Safe space.
Me or Pablo? Just be honest. Pick one.
All right. Cameras are off. Dominique, you asked which one of you is more cool. The answer is neither one of you. You're literally the least cool people I know. Time to play the game that is definitely the coolest person on this See? Oh no.
Premiering tomorrow on Discovery Plus, the Puppy Bowl presents the Summer Dog Games.
So this is not a joke. We were presented with the option. Do you want to talk about the Gold Cup final on Sunday? USA, Mexico, or like the Olympics, or this.
Dog games.
On your mark. Get set.
Bark. On your bark.
Oh. There it is. Wow. You're workshopping jokes for this.
These are great, but do they have what it takes to impress Michaela?
This is the greatest event on four legs.
Which one of these furry athletes has a taste for gold?
Puppy Bowl presents the Summer Games.
I'm so sorry to America.
Let's be clear.
Soccer.
I know we all love democracies, but this is a time when it does not pan out to have a democracy.
Yeah, this was a
failure. I didn't want to talk about dogs. These two. Oh, gosh. Dictatorship.
So, So I'm a no. Dominique, I think, is pretending like he was a no from the start, but he also obviously didn't want to talk about soccer. Are you kidding me? Dominique Foxworth talking about soccer. So Mina, are you intrigued? Why am I asking that? Why am I asking this question? I think I know the answer.
Plot twist, I'm actually not intrigued. I'm offended because Lenny was not extended an invitation for the dog games, despite the fact that he should be competing in the high jump. In fact, you can watch this.
Oh my gosh, this is why we're doing this. This is why we did this.
I cannot believe I got conned into doing this.
We did this so we could get this foolish animal on the show again. Oh my gosh. This is outrageous.
Is there any more perfect depiction of just absolute disrespect for the sports world that we have than that?
Be clear about the we.
I can't think of a more disrespectful thing. Can we Photoshop Lenny's head onto the famous Isaiah Thomas?
Don't.
I met the requirements.
Wasting our time, wasting the technology of Photoshop,
workshopping memes,
everything.
Live.
Do not do this.
Turn the lights off.
Don't do any of it. I hate it all. I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
I do not deserve to be seen. Turn the lights off.
Thank you. Yes, just turn his lights off.
Oh, okay. I thought we were doing this as a team. All right. Well, that's the show. That's highly questionable. That's Dominique Foxworth. That's Lenny, who is not trembling on his account. He's trembling because Mina Kimes cannot possibly hold him up. There he goes. That's how long that bit could last on account of Mina's physical strength. So I'm glad this all worked out exactly as we planned.
It did not work out at all.